want to welcome everybody to the Maurer Report this evening. I must remind you that this is an opinionated show, so the views and opinions of this show are those of its host and guests and do not reflect any views of any sponsor, simulcasting network, or anybody else. So if you want to email me, come over to my website and find it yourself. I know that sounds pretentious. And to the guy who left the nasty iTunes review today, thumbs up. Thanks for listening. Come back. Anyways. I know, that's horrible. Can I get any worse to my listeners than I am right now? Eh, probably. I love most of them. There's just a few that make me cringe. My guest tonight is Dan Ray, and you've wrote... I didn't write the current book down because I got memorized by... How many books do you have out now?
I have 8.
Yeah, see, I started looking at all these pretty covers, and fangs started dancing through my head about different fangs through the course of all these different books, and I'm like... Oh, yeah. And I want to welcome you back. It has been a while. I promised to bring you on probably back sooner than this, but I failed. So thank you for being persistent.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, okay. So let's just jump right into the plot. You want to talk about the New World Order, okay? So let's stop before we get too far into how do you frame the New World Order? What does that mean to you?
Well, some people call it NWO, which you've seen for wrestling. That's kind of like a hashtag wrestling thing, NWO. Well, it's also a conspiracy theory, and there's different versions of it. So just to clarify, some versions are, you know, about the Rothschilds, predominantly about Jewish bankers, and have anti-Semitic rings to them. Now, mine includes all bankers of all races, so I just, you know, want the disclaimer out there. But some people believe it's just the Rothschild family and the banking industry. That's not what I'm talking about. Another version is about aliens, how aliens are running things, how the reptilians are shape-shifting into our world leaders whenever they see fit, and they're trying to mold this world a certain way so they can easily take it over. Now, I definitely believe in aliens, as I think you interviewed me about my previous books, which were alien-themed, but this book has nothing to do with aliens. And then, of course, the last version, the version that I fully embrace, is the Christian version, which believes that the world is organizing into a one-world government through globalization, and eventually we will have a one-world government, and the Antichrist will be its leader. So, Mine is not the Jewish theme. Mine is not the alien theme, but it is the paranormal religious theme.
So let's go back to the original one that you didn't even really take two. The wrestling one. I'm not going to ask you wrestling questions, but is that kind of, you know, how sometimes, the, you know, like the alien thing, we always, there's these things they put out there just to kind of dumb us down to it, make it seem kind of just part of culture and more acceptable.
Right.
Like, because, you know, there's a generation of people out there that think New World Order, they have pictures of wrestlers in their heads, not
right.
any kind of conspiracy whatsoever.
Well, as you know, I believe you know him, Jesse Ventura is one of the most famous wrestlers and conspiracy theorists in the world. So what better way to harmlessly introduce a conspiracy theory through a mainstream cultural event that millions of people watch?
That people don't believe anyways. So, or, you know, I guess, I just probably blew my email up right there. Wrestling is real. Air quotes. sorry. Just to keep that under control. But there's this, you know, the element of everything being scripted and all, you just, you know, and then you just kind of roll it out there and everybody feels good about it, you know. And I think, you know, sometimes you see these things and you look back upon them and you go, what were they really trying to tell us? Because I don't believe these things.
Right.
Bob Ross is right. There are happy accidents, but I don't believe that was the case with this one.
Well, I went to, and not to get too far off the subject, but I went to the Alien Con here in town last month, and that Dr. Jonathan Young from Ancient Aliens was one of the speakers. And he was talking about how he believes, he's no proof of this, but he believes that our culture is trying to softly get us used to aliens. That was his take. I'm going to go one step forward, and he, oh, and by the way, he used the movie, oh, I can't remember the name of it. It had, it was about an alien landing with that redheaded actress and Jeremy. Anyway, she was a linguist, and she spoke all these languages, and they thought she could figure out what the aliens were saying. So it was out a couple years ago. I'll remember it. But anyway, that was his big thing, that they're introducing aliens to us through pop media culture to softly get us to accept the idea. Well, I'm taking it another step further, and I'm saying that maybe the wrestling industry is taking the New World Order theme and breaking it to us softly through, you know, entertaining scripted wrestling matches to get us used to the term and what is to come. So I'm just, you know, I'm just putting it out there. You don't have to agree.
Well, I'll say this, the truth is stranger than fiction, but I had former FBI linguist on Jim Fitzgerald, and he was telling me about they actually do sit around and talk about ways to communicate with aliens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fun stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how far off are we, you know what I'm saying? Are we just, I mean,
well,
where's that line anymore,
life,
right?
Right. Does life imitate art, or does art imitate life, right?
Yeah. Oh, Chuck, that's great. I'm not saying it's aliens, though, Jim. Yeah, you know, you get the Giorgio Tsoukalos thing going on from Ancient Aliens. Okay, but anyways.
He was there, too, by the way.
I should fix my hair, even though I'm not doing video, but I don't think I can get it high enough. But, you know. we're not here to talk aliens. Of course, aliens are. Yeah, I think it's all interweaved together, though, as we try to change perspective. There, I said it nicely. There was another way that I was going to say it, but I've already ripped on wrestling. I didn't need to alienate more people. Oh, alienate. That's a bad pun. Oh.
Like it. Like the play. Good wordplay.
I think there's a lot of that, like, you know, people, they call the social media sites communities, you know, they want you to believe in those, but they leave you more depressed, more feeling alone, more, I mean, there's studies about all this. I'm not just making stuff up. So I think, you know, as we try to turn the terminology to fit whatever we want it to do in this whole campaign against fake media, it's just amazing how the times are a-changing. And I don't know. I mean, I'm just sitting here doing this swirl motion around as we spin everything around where the cards land on the deck when we're done.
Well, you're somewhat in the thick of it. You've had plenty of guests who are getting screwed because of, in my opinion, of globalization, New World Order. They just, what they have to say is against the grain of where people want this country to go. So the other option is to ruin them. So that's where we're at right now. You know, without getting too political, I think this 3.5 years of impeachments kind of prove that if you're not with them, you're against them, because they're not taking on new ideas. The world is going in this direction, whether the people want it or not, and that's all there is to it. And it's not just America. Look at Great Britain. Look at Brexit. Are they still in the EU?
I don't know, but it's that's a phenomenal process to watch. And then I have a bunch of Canadian friends who are popping up, Western Canadian, Canada. If I could find out how to untie my tongue, this would be a better show tonight, I can promise. But they're talking about splitting. There's always these rumors about California leaving the United States and Texas. I believe Texas probably would first. Betting odds, just saying.
Yeah.
But that doesn't lend itself to this one world government, though. It leads us to chaos.
Well, chaos breaks down a society, and if you want to start with a clean slate, you have to break down what you have. And that's exactly what we have going on now. There's a lot of steps to New World Order, without getting too detailed, but censorship is, one of the biggest ones. And you're talking about fake media. Well, it's not just the media. Censorship, as we're seeing, is going on at university after university after university after university. Public universities get funds withheld if they don't teach certain aspects of the curriculum. We've got speakers that are not in line with liberal views of the university that are not allowed to speak there. We've got all kinds of censorship going on. In every department, I've personally known people who have lost their jobs because maybe they were Facebooking or tweeting too much about political stuff that was not in line with, their company's policy. So this whole watching the Democratic debates, on a side note, we got Kamala Harris demanding that Trump be banned from Twitter, the president of the United States being banned from Twitter. It's just, I've never seen this before in my life. We are, as I hear from my British friends, America is really, even though we're all shocked about it, this is pretty normal. I guess Europe has all kinds of censorship going on. There's a lot of books banned in Europe. My two books have Nazi swastikas on them, and if you read them, you figure out why. They have absolutely nothing to do with Hitler, and I don't want to give the stories away, but I can't sell them in Germany because Germany does not allow any type of Nazi symbolism because I guess they're sugarcoating their history books that people are reading, and they're not that bad in World War II. So if we're going to change history, we're going to censor everybody, we're going to threaten your livelihood if you don't shut up, we're not really in a democracy anymore. We're shifting. And we need to shift all the way into a globalized world, and then the changes will, of course, all of the changes will take place.
It's interesting to watch this balance of going back and forth. And then you sit here and go, what's to stop it from swinging too far the other way, though? Right. As we talk about this, I'm sure somebody becomes aware of something for the first time and plants a seed and it goes wherever it goes. If it grows, it grows. If it doesn't, it doesn't. At least they thought about something besides their traditional normal values through the course of this program. But, I see that boat rock, you're rocking the boat, right? And everybody's, there's this back and forth, especially in this, our political climate right now, right? Back and forth. Well, you can only rock the boat so long before the boat just snaps in half. Or hits an iceberg, as it may. And then what happens?
Yeah, you're... Right. Because let's say... You're absolutely right. Just to keep using the American example, let's say it doesn't look like Trump's going anywhere. This impeachment thing doesn't seem to hold that much weight. In my opinion, I'm sure other people would argue with me, but let's say for the sake of argument, he gets out of this whole thing and he wins the next election. Well, what's that going to be? Another 4 years of constant impeachment, constant harassment, constant trying to go against everything he's trying to get done. And then on the other side of the coin, let's say he loses the next election and we get a Democrat. Well, now it's going to be revenge. So everything that Democrat tries to get done, it's going to be revenge time. And where are we going with this? You're absolutely right. We're dividing ourselves more and more and more. And like you said, the boat's about to break. And that's the perfect time to sweep in and, not to get too in-depth about it, but meanwhile, where are we at now? $22 trillion in debt, right? Is that about right?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay, $22 trillion in debt. They say after when we get to $30 trillion in debt, it's a high national security risk, and we it's national security. The people loaning us the money could call in their markers, and that would be that for the United States of America. So we're getting awfully close to that number, and even if we didn't spend any money, we'd still go up another trillion in interest or something like that, so the experts say. So how are we, I mean, and we've got, one entire party talking about free this, free that, free that. With what money? We're $22 trillion in debt. No one even wants to talk about that. And again, look at Venezuela. Their total chaos is going on there. And that's what's going to happen here if we don't get our finances in control. And on a separate note, I don't know if you remember what happened in Greece on that one island. I want to say Crete. I might be wrong. It was one of those wealthy islands off the coast, maybe about 8 years, 7 years ago or so. The all of the rich people, all of their money disappeared in the banks. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, the world, this should have been a story that should have been pounded into our heads about every day for like 6 months. Because when I heard that story, it was like a 1 or 2 day thing. Well,
everything's a 1 or 2 day thing anymore, though.
That was a practice run for what's going to happen. We're going to wake up.
I got news for you. They're not stealing any money out of my bank account.
No, I hear you. If you got none to steal, then you can't get blood out of a rock. But I get you there. But nonetheless, that's how it's going to happen. And what about our homes? What if we've got a house? What if that house is paid for? What happens there? I'm already seeing this whole call for reverse mortgages. And they make the commercials are so, benign and sweet. And I just want some money to hang out with my grandchild. So I think I'll give the bank back my house. Come on.
Yeah, those commercials. I love commercials. Well, I don't get to watch that many anymore because I've cut the cord, so I don't have to watch commercials. But when I'm unfortunately stuck somewhere that has commercials, between the medication that you have to tell your doctor you need and these reverse mortgage commercials, and then every once in a while you'll see a beer commercial that really doesn't sell me any beer. I don't know. I mean, guy sitting in the woods and he opens the can and it says Bush. It doesn't make me, sorry, Anheuser-Busch. Doesn't make me want to buy a can of Bush.
Right.
I could be wrong. Maybe it's working well for you. If it does, great.
Or they're all a bunch of supermodels and they're drinking like cases of beer while they're playing volleyball on the beach. Well, people who I know who drink cases of beer aren't wearing bikinis, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I was going to say they're on the beach, but it's at a lake with a fishing pole and, well. Oh, speaking of redneck people. Oh, God. I just said that out loud, didn't I? Did you see this is the ultimate play with our minds. Did you see South Dakota spent $500,000-ish on an anti-meth campaign?
No, I did not. No.
This just came out. I think this was yesterday. I screenshotted it because I was just dumbfounded. They hired this ad agency because, what is it, 80... Hold on, I'll bring up the image on my phone real quick. 80... Where is it at? No, I'm talking. See, I had all this time while you're talking. I could have looked it up and brought up a good point here. 83% of South Dakota's 2019 court case, court administrated for a controlled substance are related to meth. This is a real thing. This was this. Yeah, that was yesterday. About this time I screenshot it, as a matter of fact. 83%. So they have this old guy. Sorry, old guy in the picture. But you're old. You can admit it, I'm sure. Meth. I'm on it. And they're posting these probably as billboards and digital advertising, you know, everywhere. Meth, I'm on it. And I'm thinking to myself, now, I'm a little conflicted by the message here. Because he's standing out in the field, and there's, you know, his life is going on. Normally. This is supposed to be a crime prevention campaign. But it did go viral. It caught my attention. I don't know if it's going to create any awareness that's going to help you solve the usage, but... You got attention drawn to it.
Well, drugs are just a very mild form of population control. You know, you don't have to nuke anybody. You don't have to put out some biochemicals to destroy anybody. You just let the people who, you know, want to escape their reality get addicted to something and poof, they die off.
But why do we protect so many? Why do we protect so many people though? Natural selection.
I mean,
batting helmets, seatbelts in cars, warning labels on hot coffee. I mean, those are just a few that come to mind that we could.
Protection. That's protection from a lawsuit. That's not protection of people. That's protection from giving up your money.
Man, when did that all switch though? Because it seemed like, you know, maybe this is just the good old boy club telling these stories. You know, I used to be able to do whatever. I never thought about suing anybody, and now you know you see somebody kind of start to trip on a sidewalk, and you're like, well, they're going to get a lawyer.
Yeah. No, I hope they don't fall on the sidewalk. I never did get that fixed.
I don't want to be witnessing this. I can't. I don't want to have to testify in court that I watched a person fall on the sidewalk.
That's where we're at right now. It's one big legal battle. I mean, everything ends up in court. It's ridiculous.
Watch this. Be good host here coming up. Drawing a circle. Is that because we're trusting the government more than ever to help us with our problems?
I think so. I honest to God, the government gets more and more powerful each year. And pretty soon... You know, they're gonna merge with all the other countries, and I'm seeing it where I can really prove my point is in the UN. I don't know if you or your listeners are familiar with the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, Agenda 2050.
We're agenda. Just pick one out and start talking, because I think we're in for a good time here. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's. The UN, as you know, you guys all know, it started with the League of Nations and was just meant to create a space for governments to come together on a peaceful note and talk about problems of the world and so forth. And then things really got cooking, and the UN's role really shifted under the first Bush, George H. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. And he went to the first, you know, real agenda meeting in 1992, and he went to Rio with the other members of the UN at that time. And they brainstormed into shifting from an arena to kind of share your problems in a peaceful manner to a power, to a world power. That this is clearly the shift. And they set out an agenda, hence the, you know, phrase agenda. And they came up loosely with some rules that they wanted to accomplish as the world. And they're not laws. You can't make someone put this into their government. But nonetheless, all of the leaders went back to their countries, whether you're Republican, Democrat, didn't really matter. your goal was to take the ideas from the UN and then put them into laws, which we have done. And again, it started with George Bush. Then every 5 years, they had another meeting. And then eventually, they had a meeting called Agenda 21. And that was in the 90s. And it stood for the 21st century, Agenda 21. So that is when they decided some environmental policies, some ideas for, of course, world government, some ideas about sustainable development. I'm sure you've heard that buzzword a million times. Some ideas about poverty, which is redistribution of wealth. All of these ideas were ironed out in the next agenda, which was in 2030. So we've got that Ocasio-Cortez, one of my favorite politicians. She's sitting there talking about her Green New Deal as if that were her idea. That's not her idea. She read the UN website, and I don't want to say she stole it. I personally think she's a puppet for someone. But, oh, yeah, we got to do the Green New Deal. Well, the Green New Deal is one of the UN's sustainable development goals. She totally ripped them right off. And she's trying to pawn it off as her own because no one wants to say, oh, I'm implementing the UN, all of the UN's ideas, because people would start to take New World Order a whole lot more credibly than they do at this point. And, I just want to reiterate, another one of the UN goals is a borderless society. Well, what do we got going on right now? We've got the Democrats want open border policy with Canada. Okay, Canada doesn't seem to be that much of a problem, but with Mexico, and we've got, of course, got the cartels and other issues going on there. So, and they want to give anybody who comes to this country free health care and free entitlement programs. So this is not the United States idea. This is not an American idea. This is a UN idea. And this is the problem. We've got the UN, which didn't set out to run the world, all of a sudden is running the world. I think most people don't understand the UN has its own army. I don't know if anybody knew that before, but they call them blue helmets. And they're military soldiers from different countries. They get paid more than they do in their country. I mean, not a lot more, but substantially more, and they work for the UN. And you know what one of the UN's military objectives is? To secure borders. So here we are. America, when I say we pay for half of the UN. We pay for half of this. Why are we paying for half of something that is a global initiative? Well, again, when we become a one world government, there's the United States of America sitting pretty, having the most power in this UN, and who's going to be on top of things? Of course, the Americans. So anyway, the UN's objective is to secure borders, right? In dispute?
In theory.
Why aren't they on the Mexican border? Why do we have ICE? I don't understand this. We're paying half of the entire UN, which is billions of dollars each year, and we're not using them, which we have all the power in that organization. We're not calling the troops to the Mexican border. There's a lot of questions here that nobody seems to be asking. Why?
They're too busy asking other questions right now.
Right. Like who's quid pro quo and whom, or some, you know, whatever. We got a lot of questions that are a lot more important than what's going on now, in my opinion. And nobody's even asking that. To me, when I heard all of this stuff about the impeachment, my number one question is, why are we giving Ukraine a $1 billion in aid every year? That was what stuck with me. But no, everybody's fine with that.
Yeah, well, that was kind of one of those things that came out to me. And then here's the thing. nobody wants to hear this, right? But there apparently we've got a big mess in Ukraine. We've got the Biden situation. Paul Manafort had some dealings in Russia and Ukraine. He helped get the current president elected. So let's be honest. Whatever's going on over there is an interesting mess. Why it's happening over there, I want to know. But I don't think these impeachment hearings are going to get us to the bottom of, well, this glass of water. This lovely glass of water. Let alone what I want to know.
Well, I couldn't agree more with you. But what it appears to me with this whole foreign aid is a way for politicians to get rich. Is, oh, well, I'll give you foreign aid, and you kick some of that back to my family and give them BS jobs for millions of dollars, and then you can keep the rest. That's how I'm seeing it. Am I not seeing this correctly? I mean...
Well, until as the meme goes on the internet with the guy sitting behind the table that says, prove me wrong. Right?
So this whole entire thing is I take a whole bunch of money from the taxpayers and I give it to another country and they give me a percentage back that I can give to my family. So therefore, I can get rich off of the backs of, you know, everybody else. That's what I'm seeing. I mean, again, this isn't a question that too many people want to know the answer to. And if you look at Facebook, as I'm sure you do, and all the other internet sites, Joe Biden's not the only one doing this. There's Nancy Pelosi, I think, was one of the families. There's about five or six of them that have pulled this stunt. Here's foreign aid, and then in return, their kids, who are completely unqualified, get some ridiculously high-paid job, which I'd be curious to know if they ever even showed up at the office for one day.
Yeah, so. Let's not get crazy. So you really think government officials are aliens that shapeshift, huh?
Well, that's one theory. Okay, again, I have the religious theory.
I know. Which... I just had to transition to that moment just because it's getting a little heavy right now. The religious theory makes sense to this degree because you have to believe in it, right?
Right.
You have to buy into it because the other ones, it's just kind of exist, right? Because if any politician was a shape-shifting alien, it is what it is. I mean, I don't have to believe that. But for the rest of, for your theory to be true, we all kind of have to collectively dig into it and buy in on some level or be so, I think the other thing that kills me about what's going on right now, we'll be all so flipping tired of it that most people won't care by the time the election comes around.
No, I'm here in Texas, so things are a little bit more red, if you know what I'm saying. And I listened to the talk radio on the way home from work, and, you know, people are calling up these radio hosts, and they're infuriated. And, you know, I don't give a crap what he's done. I'm voting for him no matter what. And they're infuriated right now, at least in this red state. Now, maybe they're getting a whole bunch of different kinds of calls in New York or California. Everything's relative, but you're absolutely right. People are getting mad. They don't care anymore. They want their pound of flesh one way or another. And at the end of the day, all you're doing is creating more chaos and more division. And, I can't even... My mom's always been a staunch Democrat, and I'm one of those moderate, could go either way. She and I can't even talk to each other about politics anymore. We avoid the whole entire subject, and that never was. It causes an argument, so we don't talk about it. I mean, that's how it is, for a lot of people. And that never was. We never had that problem before. People would just kind of, you know... Whatever, that's your idea. We don't have that anymore.
I don't think there's an open discussion anymore. Like, it's either red, blue. And if you kind of are me, and this Germantown runner gave me this, purple or somewhere in between moderate, kind of just, you know, it's let's stop before we burn the whole place down kind of person. There's no real discussion for you to have because it doesn't make sense to that side or that side, so you're kind of just talking to yourself, which what is the same thing the other people are doing just because they're angry and they're not making a point, but they don't see it that way.
Jim, I did want to point to you. I do have some more proof for you. I mean, you're saying that my theory is based on a set of beliefs, which you're right, it is. But I have a couple of things besides the UN and their agendas, which pretty much call for a one world government, and besides the call for globalization, as we already know, I mean, everybody wants to get this whole carbon footprint thing in. That's a global tax on your carbon footprint. Now, you know, come on. Here's one that maybe you know about, maybe your listeners know about, but when I found out about it a few years back, I was blown away. There was this tunnel called the Gotthard Tunnel in Switzerland that was built. And it's the first tunnel that went through, I don't know how many miles of a mountain pass to get from Switzerland into Germany. And I don't know how many miles long it was, but it's supposedly the longest tunnel that was engineered throughout a mountain pass ever. So it's an engineering marvel, and it's definitely something to celebrate. So I want to say in 2016 or 2017, the EU leaders, Merkel, I think it was maybe Sarkozy at the time, not Macron, but the guy before Macron, Tony Blair, I want to say Tony Blair, maybe it was Theresa May. Anyway, all the world leaders came to this parade for this train tunnel that went through the Alps, and they put on quite a show. And I urge you and your listeners to look at it on YouTube one of these days. And it pretty much spells out New World Order about the only thing they don't do is have a banner that says NWO going through this parade. They've got a fallen angel. They've got a guy dressed as Baphomet or a demon that some even believe is Satan himself doing a kind of witchy type of dance. They've got a group of people in flesh-colored unitards that might be simulating some kind of orgy. It's just complete hedonistic, complete Satanism. Please take a look. Now, why they would have this to celebrate a tunnel, I don't know. The only thing that I can come up with is the cat's out of the bag. We don't have to hide anymore. Things are coming our way. This is who we worship. The devil, and the heck with everybody else. That's my take on it, but you'd have to watch the video to answer that for yourself. Complete bizarre. And on another thing that to me really points in the direction of New World Order is, of course, in Revelation, it says, at the end of days, there will be a common worship. Well, the Pope right now, this is the only pope who's ever done this, has joined with other leaders of other religions, and they have national prayer days, national talk days, national youth days that celebrate all religions, and then they all pray together. Now, they don't all believe in the same God, so why are they praying together? Well, to me, they're trying to unify, you know, in lots of baby steps, they want to unify as one religion. And this Pope is already changing things up. He's been quoted as saying there's no such thing as hell. He's allowing priests to marry in certain areas, which you know, might not be a bad thing, but that has certainly never been part of the Catholic religion. And, you know, he's got, he wants, he's publicly said time and time again how he wants open borders and no walls. Well, he lives in the Vatican where there's a big wall around the Vatican. So, but he's publicly stated that the world doesn't need any walls. Well, how nice of you to say that, you know? You live behind a wall. And I just, you know, want to throw it out there that he's very political, he's very anti-Trump, and he's very into globalism and one world unity, end of poverty, which means redistribution of wealth. So, I mean, I know I'm babbling, but no, those are some of my smoking guns.
You're doing you're doing good. And there's another one that I want to mention about the Pope while we're talking about the Pope. Did you hear him say that he had baptized an alien? Just for the record.
I missed that one.
Just for the record, in case you needed something else to fuel your fire.
I missed that one. I'll have to look that one up later and blog about it.
that's always my favorite thing. When he said that, I'm like, my show for the next 10 years is going to reference that one. And so far. I just can't help myself. It just seems so great. So,
well, make fun all you want.
Yeah, big admission too, right? That he's not scared. So they can land behind his wall anytime.
Anyway, that is... Oh, wait, can I throw one more thing?
Yep, go ahead.
One more thing, not to add fuel to my fire. Okay. Another part of New World Order is the citizens can't have guns, right? Can't have guns. How can the government take over the world, or at least America, if everyone's armed? So, gotta get rid of guns. Well, that's a major platform. I don't know if you were following that Barack Obama, or not Barack Obama, forgive me, Beto O'Rourke. Do you know who he is, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
He dropped out recently?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't realize he's in, so it made my knowing that he dropped out. Oh, wait, I didn't know he was in. That just, anyways.
Well, he just dropped out like a week ago, but he...
I think if you're in it, you've got to stay in it at least until the year the election is. If you get in you've got to... Anyways, go ahead, sorry.
I agree, but I think he ran out of money or something like that.
Well, you could just stay in it and be out of money. Nobody knows.
Well, he let the cat out of the bag because they're all anti-gun, right? Well, his anti-gun went farther left than everyone else's. He basically said on television in an interview that his idea to get rid of guns is to look off the registry and to demand everybody who ever registered for a gun to bring it in to the police station. And then the reporter said, well, what if they don't voluntarily bring in their gun for your government? He wanted a government buyback program. And the reporter said, well, what if they don't voluntarily bring it in? And he said after that, well, then we get law enforcement to go to their home and take it. That's New World Order. That's New World Order 101.
And you're from Texas. I'm from northwestern Pennsylvania. You know, the kind that enjoys their hunting, outdoor sports. I was going to say hunting, but I'll say outdoor sports. There are probably people within the sound of my voice, not the computer sound of my voice, within the sound of my voice, who would not be thrilled about that idea.
I just thought I'd share. That was one of my favorite, like, oh my gosh, this guy's not even hiding that he's in New World Order. Okay, he's like, just, yeah, we're going to go to your house and take it. And that's what everyone's terrified of. And he's like, yeah.
And I have
he dropped out about a week after that.
I have another working theory about this. This is fascinating. That even I think now this isn't going to be a lockstep, you know, across the board thing. But if you wait two more generations, the number of people that know how to successfully use a gun will be down tremendously. Because people we talked about this government protection thing, so everybody calls the police, and B, the numbers of people hunting and fishing and being outdoors because of iPhones is going to go, or iPhones. Sorry, Apple, you're not just your products, but all the technology products will continue to drive people to a sedentary indoor life.
Ooh, that's scary.
It is scary. Okay, so I've got another story that I want your opinion on so bad, but I want to do this first because I know I'm looking at the time and we got 14 minutes left. I'm looking, give or take. And if I don't do this now and I get into this, we'll be done. So first, where can people find you and find the books?
My books are all over the place, but they're all on Amazon.com under Dina Rae, D-I-N-A-R-A-E. I have an Amazon author page. Some are on, you know, Barnes & Noble, some are at Walmart, some are here, some are there, but they're all on Amazon under Dina Rae, D-I-N-A-R-A-E. And by the way, there is another Dina Rae besides me. And she's young, and she's hot, and she sings with Eminem. That's not me.
Oh, you should take credit for that, too. Oh, wait.
All right.
Same person.
Okay, I'll take
credit. I'm a shapeshifter. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm both. You can buy my album, too.
I was going to say, has anybody seen you two at the same place? Okay, the defense list. So
yeah, you can find me on Amazon. I'm on Twitter at Halo of the Damned. At Halo of the Damned. No spaces. That was my second book, and it was about fallen angels. You can find me on Pinterest, Dina Rae Books. You can find me on Instagram, Dina Rae 2018, because that is the year I finally figured out how to join Instagram. I didn't know what it was before, and everyone was nagging me to get an Instagram account. I'm, of course, on Facebook, Dina Rae Books. Dina Rae is, you know, my regular Facebook. Oh, my gosh. I have two blogs, Conspiracy Crackpot and Dina Rae's Write Stuff. .blogspot.com. I know, I'm sure I'm missing something. Oh, I'm on YouTube. I've got some book trailers. And this is my eighth book, and they're all conspiracy themes. Seven are fiction, one is nonfiction. This one's about, this one's a futuristic book. It takes place about 20, 25 years from now, and it's about New World Order. New World Order actually happens, and there's a group of people left, and what do? And it goes from there. And so far, it's you know, been released for about 5 or 6 months, and so far, the critics love it.
Well, that's all that matters. I mean, I hope other people like it, too.
Thank you.
Where did it go? Okay, here we go. So did you see the tweet last Wednesday from Representative Paul Gosar from the 4th District in Arizona? You may be thinking, which one? Because, you know,
nope.
There's so many of them. No, I've hit my chatters up. I preferred them to look for it, and nobody did, so I had to sit here and look for it myself. Thumbs down. No, I'm just kidding. They're having a good discussion.
Paul Gosar?
Yes. I'm going to read you the tweet, and then I'll explain why I'm reading this tweet to you. And my phone just goes black. That's good. All the tweets pertaining to today's hearing, rest assured, they were substantive, every one of them. All of them. Five were brilliant, one was okay. And then if you look at this, now I hand it to my wife, and she's not nearly the conspiracy person that I am. I said, just read that tweet. And she said, yeah, it says Area 51. Because the first sentence started with A, the second one started with R, the third one started with E, and then the last
oh,
one.
Oh, I see it.
The last one started with A, and then five were brilliant, and one was okay.
I see it. Interesting.
Not only a good impeachment tweet, solid. Paul, if you want to come on the show and talk about Area 51, I will get you my number immediately.
At Area 51? Heck yeah. That was my... my book, the bestseller and the sequel.
Yeah,
takes place at Brooms Lake, you know, Area 51, Nevada, and about the secret base and the Nazis and Nazi scientists that we took from World War II and reverse engineering of the aircraft, all that. Yeah, I'm into all that. That's one of my many conspiracy faves.
And I'll go as far to say if somebody wants me to go to Area 51, set a date and I'll mortgage my house and I'll be there.
Oh, did you didn't go for that one?
No, I didn't.
That they had?
No, I wanted the invitation to come in the front door and not be arrested in the back of a police car.
Did you watch the Bob Lazar special on Netflix?
Not yet. I keep looking at it. I keep looking at it and go. When I get to Netflix, it's time to lay down, and I don't want to, fall asleep.
Oh, the Shazay. I love that. That is the best documentary. That guy is awesome. Oh, my gosh, you're missing it. You're missing the boat on that one.
Well, one of these days, I just don't want to fall asleep during it. And, that'd just be crummy trying to get back to where you were and, yeah. I'm not that good at things. Actually, where was it at? Was it on Netflix or was it on Hulu? I can't remember, but did you watch the one about the pizza bomber?
The pizza what?
The pizza bomber.
The pizza blama?
Bomber. The guy that, Brian Wells in Erie, Pennsylvania, probably 20 years ago, he was kidnapped and forced to wear a pipe bomb around his neck. He was a pizza delivery guy.
Ooh, I don't know this one.
Yeah, it's right up the road from me, probably 45 minutes, an hour north of me. And actually, I was in Erie that day, but I wasn't there, obviously. But so it was kind of strange to get home and see it on the news that this happened. And I'm like, that wasn't too far. Okay. I mean, it was closer than it is now, but, it wasn't too far where I was. And I'm like, ooh, strange place, strange times. And then conspiracy behind all that. I promise you. You sit down, it's in three parts, it's like 4 hours or something like that.
The You'll pizza bomber, okay.
You'll love it.
I watched The Family. That one was good.
What's the other one? The Birdhouse? I think it's called?
Oh, yeah, I saw that one with Sandra Bullock.
No, the conspiracy one. There's a conspiracy documentary series about, I think it's called The Birdhouse. About this guy who was accused of murdering his wife and spent time in jail, and there was some sloppy investigating, and they finally got him up on appeal, and his attorney proved that a bird, got overturned, and then at the end there was this synopsis part where there's this clip of a bird, and they showed these talons of, must have been a hawk, like that left the same marks when they went to test it, as that were on his wife.
Oh, jeez. No, that sounds good.
Yeah, well, now that I just spoiled it, but yeah. But it was just phenomenal to see this process. I mean, and people tell me I should do true crime, and I'm like, it's already being done so well by so many other people, I'm just going to enjoy it, not try to do it myself. So
you're giving me hours of entertainment to watch. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we've now that we traded our Netflix notes for this evening. I looked this up. Do you know where the doomsday clock is? It's at 2 minutes to midnight. I had to look
where
it up. The doomsday clock, that predicts the end of the world.
Oh yeah, like the Mayan clock, for 2012, yeah. But that didn't happen.
Well, they forgot leap years. I mean. Sooner. Oh,
they said that the reason that the world didn't end in 2012 is not because of that. It's because we're in a new era now.
Well, boy, they were
think
right
it's
about
the new
that.
World order era.
Boy, they were right about that new era, weren't they? Craziness all across the board. Maybe that was the maybe you wish the world would end, Clyde. Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
So many people Doomsday? Are making angry. Or I'm making angry. Go ahead.
Do you watch Doomsday Preppers?
Yeah, well, I watched Yeah, I've watched them. I haven't watched them. They're still making them?
No, I think it's off the air now, but it was a hit a few years ago.
Do you have a Fallout shelter? Oh, wait, I probably shouldn't ask that. Blink twice if you do.
No, but if I was rich, that would be my first thing I'd buy with my money. A place to go when the shit hits the fan, as they say in doomsday prepper talk. I would have a shelter, yes. I would have a bug-out place.
Yeah, well, my problem is, though, these people that are preparing for the end of the world, right? Like nuclear... Mm-hmm. Well, if we, drop enough nuclear bombs at the same time, it just doesn't matter anymore how much stuff you have underground, unless you're underground when it happens.
Well, there's different studies on that. I don't know.
Maybe I'm just trying to get these people to go back underground and stay there.
I don't know. I would be willing to try it if I had the money. Like I said, I'd have to have a lot of discretionary money for something like that, because that's really a luxury item to have a underground condo.
I'm here to tell you, some of those people, that wasn't a luxury item. That was like they were avoiding eating now to eat in 10 years when this thing ends. Or maybe that was just my perception of the show. Some of them just, kind of... I'll never forget. Way back when I first... Right around the time I started the show, somebody sent me a video of this guy who was melting down nickels. And he's like, you need to go to the bank today and get all of your money in nickels. And preferably older nickels. And I'm just sitting here amazed by this guy. I wish I could find him. Yeah, there's more silver, more lead in them.
Yeah.
So you can have the silver to trade, and you can have the lead for, you guessed it, 7 cents of justice. There, I said it nicely. Already makes it more worth more than a nickel already, because it's 7 cents of justice. You've inflated its value.
Yeah, my husband looks at the dates of coins like that because of that rule.
Well, this guy was, he was... He's like, go to the bank and get it all in nickels and pick through them and then take them back and get more. And I'm thinking, this is all well and good, but this is the kind of thing that you might want to keep to yourself, because, if a million people go to do this, your nickel supply is just gone now.
My husband does it, and I know about it, but I can't. There's certain, everybody has their limits, right? That's one thing. I can't be looking at the dates of all of my coins. I mean, I draw the line at that. That's just too much work. He'll do that, but even I won't do it. I refuse.
I'll tell you, you'll notice the difference. They feel different.
Yeah, they're a little heavier.
Yeah. So most of them are. I mean, most of the time you'll notice a difference.
At least that's been my experience. I'm not at that desperation level yet.
And the other thing is how much, I realized this the other day, because I wanted to buy something out of a vending machine, that was $2, and I went, are you kidding? So I'm looking for change, right? I'm like, I don't know if I have, total, I don't know if I have $2 in change in my car, let alone 8 quarters, right? I'm digging for this thing. But anyways, well, Dana, it has been a blast as usual. I promise to have you back on. Yeah, I shouldn't say that. But you are more than welcome to come back on when you have another book out. How's that sound?
Well, Jim, love to come on. I love your show.
You're the hostess
with the most. You're the host with the most.
I've been called worse today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
And that's Dana Ray. Good conspiracy, government, alien show, right? Well-rounded. I can't talk still. That's okay, though. You don't need to talk to do this, right? Made that guy that posted that review seem like a genius today. That's okay. That's what I do here. Few housekeeping things before we run fastly out of time. Subscribe to the newsletter if you have not. I'm going to be updating everybody via the newsletter about what's going on with me and my health and all that fun stuff. I sent out one last week, And it'll probably be again Monday before I send out another one when I meet again with the doctor. So there's that. So that's the place to go for all that stuff. But until then, see you all on whichever social media you pleasure, or you could drop me an email, or you can just listen next week. Either way, have a good night, everybody.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcasts.